Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it anywhere you get your app store. Orange background, white A. Once it's downloaded, you search for WILK News Radio. You favorite us, and that's it. You are in. Thanks for joining us for the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's 5:10, 87 degrees on this Wednesday, June 25th. 2025. Jake, you got your headphones on? The time that I do this show, and it's a privilege to do it during this time, was formally held in the past, and I was a listener of L.A. Tyrone. And I know Jake worked with L.A. L.A. was a mentor to Jake and started probably one of the started you on your journey here, right, Jake?
I guess you could say that. I mean, I did my internship here in 2011. I was officially hired in January 2012, and originally, Rob, I had worked Saturdays here, and like I told the story on Sue Henry's show earlier, it was November of 2012, it was Thanksgiving weekend. I usually work Saturdays, and Kathy Donnelly, she works Sundays, and that's when LA had his show initially on WILK. So I still vividly remember she wanted to go visit her kids that weekend, so I came in here that Sunday. And I just remember thinking, like, this guy is very unique, but he's very cool at the same time. And I still remember he had on, it was like a white and sort of gold San Francisco 49ers sweater from the 80s. You could clearly tell it was from the 80s. Pots and pots of black coffee. And right over there in that corner, he had a tape recorder, and he would record every single bit of his shows. So I had worked with him a couple more times in 2013, a couple Sundays here and there. Down at 102.3 used to be the Sports Hub, and Joe Thomas got that off the ground running. I had applied to be his co-host. They picked LA, and even when they picked him, he sort of took me under his wing at that moment and basically just encouraged me to not get frustrated, not give up. Obviously, I didn't have any hard feelings whatsoever. And then December 2013, a couple Sundays before Christmas, that's when he told me that his show was going to be moved from Sundays to weeknights, originally from 7 to 9. And I still remember, here was a man that had been in radio, had been in broadcasting in general for 34 years up to that point. And I remember he said, I want you to be the producer of my show. And that was such an honor in itself that he believed in me. And that mentorship and that friendship, it grew so quickly. I still remember standing out in the parking lot. It would be right before his show would start at 7. It would usually be me, him, and Fishboy. And we would just be BSing about whatever, whether it was sports, whether it was music, whether it was politics. And he was so well versed in all of those things. And he was also, no matter, he might have leaned to the right, but he was willing to listen to someone that leaned to the left or was right down the middle. He was very fair. He was very honest with anyone that called into his show.
And until it was time to get off his radio.
Yes. Yes. And because of LA and because he was so knowledgeable in so many fields, that was really when I finally started to pay attention to politics. And 2016 specifically, as we know, obviously how huge of an election that was. And I mean, albeit this was not too long after he was diagnosed with lung cancer and was still putting in a full effort, whether it was with his show, whether it was with the afternoon news, the Sports Hub that lasted for about 2 years, I believe. I mean, it was one thing after another. He wrote some columns for the Standard Speaker. He had the TV show on WILN. And what stood out to me was just that perseverance. As he was battling lung cancer, how he still showed up day after day, aside from when he would have to go down to Philadelphia for his treatments. And it really wasn't until, obviously, the beginning of 2017 when things sadly started to take a turn for the worse. I still remember when he was given this specific time slot from 3 to 6. And it was March of 2017. It was about a week or so after that blizzard that we had. Excuse me. And I remember Ryan, our general manager, I still remember he walked into the room and it's 6:30 at night. And I'm thinking, well, it's been a nice 5 years here. That's originally what I was thinking. I was so intimidated because it's so late at night. And he just said, when is LA going to break? I'm like, in a minute or two. And he went in there. He told him that 3 to 6 was now his time slot. And he seriously looked like a kid on Christmas morning that he was given that time slot. And it's so sad that it was April 28th. I still remember because it was the day after the NFL draft. We had talked about so many things, sports and music and obviously politics. And obviously I was so intrigued to hear what he was going to have to say about the NFL draft. And he was in the break room. And he just said that he was in a lot of back pain and he was really tired. And little did I know that day would end up being his final show.
Yeah,
I came here that Monday and I think Johnny was working. I think it was with Rob Neihardt. And I'm thinking, what on earth is going on here? And here, this is when I found out that he had to be hospitalized. He was down in Philadelphia. And then by some miracle, that last week and a half, 2 weeks of his life, they moved him to Newport Township, which is close to Nanticoke. And the last 8 days, I think I was there maybe all but one day. My mom got to go. My dad got to go. And even when you sort of knew that it was coming, here he was. He's sitting in a hospital bed, and he's telling my dad and I the difference between a 73 Mercury and a 74 Mercury, even right there to the very end. And that was a day, obviously, I will never forget. Paula was the one that texted us that things were not looking good. And I get there, my parents and I get there, and the door was closed to his room, and I hear them singing Amazing Grace, and I'm thinking, oh my God, don't even tell me that I didn't make it. And so many people that were there that day, and I was glad I got to spend a little bit of time with him. I think I left maybe about 2 o'clock or so. And it was 7 o'clock that night, a little after 7 o'clock that night, when I got a text message from Paula that he had passed away. And a great man, a great mentor, a great coworker, but most of all, a great friend. And I miss him dearly. So much has changed over these past 8 years. I've grown so much as a person over the past 8 years and as a producer. And obviously, personally, meeting Kelly 4 years ago, getting married last year, you know, I deeply regret that he never got the chance to meet Kelly and just see the transformation that I've made, both personally and professionally. So,
well, he sees it, yeah, no doubt. Sports sure. icon, music icon, yeah. Cars, politics, he had
you
it all.
Name it.
One of the more rounded people I've ever seen in yeah. the profession. So you definitely did his memory justice, Jake, and
thank you.
That's why I wanted to turn it over to you. And it's an honor to have this time now following someone like that, because he's definitely blazed a path here. Years later now, you know, still remembering each and every day, and the old get off my radio.
Yes.
So I'm sure Jake's got that somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And that's the amazing thing now that I think about it is when we lost him, the first couple months or so, it was very, very bleak. It was to a point that I honestly wondered, like, why am I still here? And then luckily enough, it was 4 months later when they hired Frank. I had 5 great years with Frank, and he retired, and I'm happy that he's able to spend more time with his wife and his children, especially Harper. And then I went through it again, like the first few months after he retired, I'm thinking, like, why am I here? And man, I gotta tell you, when January of 2023, when they brought you in,
you want to quit every day since then.
No, I mean, honestly, this working with you and especially knowing, like, this particular time slot and working with those two men before, like, these are definitely some of the best times of my life right now. And I I enjoy working with you so much, and I respect the hell out of you so much, Rob. I really do.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But, hey, to L.A. Tyrone, your memories embedded in this place always.
Amen.
It's 520 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. A lot of L.A. Tyrone fans rolling in on the text message line. We appreciate you remembering our friend here. L.A. was a Rolling Stone savant, Bert from Mountain Top. Yes, he indeed was. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to do it justice. So, L.A. for life. Jake is dope as F. HVAC dude. L.A. We were big L.A. fans, and this is a great tribute. Thanks to both of you. No, the honor was ours. So, appreciate you listening to us and honoring our friend for a little time there. I did not know L.A. personally, but I was a fan of his and did listen to him often. So, their border czar, Tom Homan, was on a podcast. Miranda Devine, who's a friend of mine. She writes for the New York Post. She's an incredible journalist. She has a podcast now on based from the New York Post. Pod Force One, it's called. And she interviewed Tom Homan. And I knew a little bit of this, but I did not know the extent of this. I mean either text or talk to Tom pretty regularly. And because of the death threats, he has to, his wife is living somewhere else. Now, I am aware there have been protests at some of his, at his home. I'm not going to say where it is, and I'm not going to get into details on what type of threats there are because you know, they're being dealt with. But the result of that is, you know, he's living away from his wife because of these death threats. She's no longer living in their home. You know, she's been moved to an undisclosed location. And you could tell it's taking a toll, but not deterring him from his mission. You know, he spent a lot of time with his boys growing up. But as I got more and more, climbed the ladder of what I've done with ICE director and now back, I don't see my family very much, Tom told the Post columnist Miranda Devine during an interview airing Wednesday. Now, those of you who do not agree with what he's doing, and he's fulfilling a job. He was asked to do a job. He was the first one called by President Trump when he won the election and said, I need you back. You've been talking about how bad it is for 4 years. Now I need you to do something about it. That's exactly what he said, President Trump told him. You've been talking about it for 4 years and how bad it is. I need you back to fix it. He said, how do you turn down a request like that? You don't. You don't. But I do understand that. You know, there's been offers for me, you know, to work in different sectors of government. I am not in the point where I want to spend 18-hour days, 7 days a week away from what's important to me. Now, not that that mission wouldn't be important to me. It's obviously an important mission. But is it where I am in this point in my life? I don't know. It wasn't because I said no to a couple of offers. You know, if the president himself called me and said he needed me to do something, that would be a different story. Nor am I asking for that because, again, what sounds great and when you're actually doing it is two different things, two very vastly different things. Think about it. And I don't care what it is. I mean, people look at people, you know, the band. When you go to see bands on tour, whoever it is, a rock band, a country singer, a pop singer, when you go see them on tour and you go, wow, this must be the life. Or you watch, if you're an avid hunter and you watch these hunting shows on TV and these hunting people, you're like, I wish I had a show like this. I wish I could do something here with it. When you see their road schedule, when you see what they're doing day in and day out, it gets old very quickly. So the reality to what we think is a very great way to live is not necessarily not necessarily that in itself. So I feel for my friend Tom Homan that he has to live like this. I feel that that the fact that we're in a society to where someone making us safer day in and day out across America cannot even live with his family on a daily basis because of threats from very dangerous people, not just people who disagree with what he's saying, but people who would like to kill him and take his family hostage. So it's troubling to see that in this day and age, that that's the way some people have to live for answering the call. It's 5:30 here at WILK. EJ, you got something?
Yeah, just before we break for news, I wanted to go out and tell everybody. I just received word, and I talked to a couple sources that are, as a matter of fact, on scene. We've got ourselves a pretty nasty accident. It is a 3-car accident in Shavertown. It's plugging up both north and southbound on 309. And so if you are in there, it's at the intersection between Burger King and the funeral home. If you have any other information on this, call us on the jam line, 570-883-7269. But that's our jam line. And if, just so you know, Shavertown, not a good place to be right now. 3-car accident. We don't know any other details at this time.
All right. Thank you, EJ. If you got anything on it, you could text it into the text line or call the traffic line. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 5:36, 84 degrees. If you can avoid that 309 in Shavertown, you want to do that. There's a bad accident, multi-vehicle accident there. It is closed down part of the road there near Burger King, as you heard from EJ Samuels in here, and I'm sure he'll update it when he comes back in a bit. So if you can avoid 309 in the Shavertown area, I would advise you do. Got a text message in. I'm a little too young to have listened to L.A. on the radio, but I lived next to Tyrone's Market as a child. Remember him vividly. He was a great guy, great family. So great to hear all the feedback that's out there. So a frustrated woman took to, where else? TikTok, right? That's where we go now to grieve our grievances. It's the new Festivus platform, I guess. She was reprimanded and forced to buy a highly priced T-shirt at Disney World after an employee said that her outfit was inappropriate for a family park. Now, she was wearing what she says she normally wears to the gym. Now, I get it. Florida's hot. I get it. Walking around Disney World gets even hotter and is exhausting. But she says, and she admits, that she was wearing leggings and a sports bra. The very same outfit that she wears to the gym without a problem. Well, I would think it's appropriate for a gym, right? But she didn't think that it was an issue at Disney World. Was so happy to be here that I didn't realize I was improperly dressed and would be forced to buy a $45 T-shirt or else I could not get on the ride I wanted to go on for an hour, waited for an hour. Well, I don't know. I think places like Disney World or any place for that matter should have some sort of decorum, but it should be standard across the board. It's interesting because the last time I was at Disney World, I took each of my daughters there on a daddy-daughter trip when they turned 16. Now, they turned 16 a year apart, so I went 2 years in a row. The one time I went with my daughter, I was wearing a Blue Line T-shirt that just had the Blue Line flag. Didn't say anything, didn't have anything else on it. It just had the Blue Line flag. And when we were going in, one of the staffers tried to tell me that my shirt was inappropriate. As I was having this conversation, a woman walked by with Daisy Duke shorts, jean shorts, and fishnet leggings, fishnet stockings that were see-through, walked by with basically her butt cheeks hanging out. So I just pointed over and I was like, but that's appropriate? And the gentleman said, have a nice day. And went in without an issue the rest of the time. Matter of fact, when I was taking pictures with my daughter and some of the characters during our trip that day, a lot of the characters were pointing at the Blue Line flag, giving it a thumbs up. So I get that there's a lot of non-uniformity when it comes to these things. But do you think wearing a sports bra and leggings like you would to the gym, is appropriate for Disney World. Now, if you're paying $120, $140 a ticket per person per day, family of five, you know, is a one or two car payments. Do you want people to be appropriately dressed? I mean, people wear tank tops all the time. She says, you know, it's the same as wearing a tank top. It's just my belly was showing. And other people said, well, you're kind of just wearing a bra. And in the gym, that might be acceptable, but in a family park, maybe not. I'm sure a lot of the dads walking around didn't mind, and some of the teenage boys, but maybe some of the moms and some of the grandmoms and some of the wives, other wives, didn't take too kindly to it. So you could text it in. What's your thought? Is a sports bra and leggings appropriate for a theme park? So like Disney World or Universal or even Hershey for that matter. I've seen some pretty raunchy things worn in Hershey too. So we'll see what you guys say. It's 5:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather. Together, here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, well, things are cooling off. We're going to have a low of 70 after those storms move through. It's going to be warm, humid with patchy fog in spots, but those storms are working their way through. Thursday, partly sunny, warm with storms late in the day and evening, high of 87, similar to today. Friday, mostly cloudy with a few showers possible, high of 78, so it's going to be cooler, but still same routine. Saturday, partly sunny with scattered showers and storms, high of 85. Sunday, some showers early, partly sunny in the afternoon, high of 89. It is currently 84 degrees here at 542 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. It is downpouring literally on our roofs here in Pittston, and it goes all the way up through the valley to the Carbondale area. So heavy rain moving through the Scranton area, heavy rain moving through the valley all the way down here. And it's not going to last very long. It's not going to be steady. You know, it's already clear. I just checked my video cameras up at my house. It's already starting to clear up there as after it came through, but the ground is wet. So, drive carefully. It is going to be heavy rain. The ground is dry, so there should be pooling in areas. So, be careful out there. And just know that it's not going to be a steady thing. If you can wait it out, I suggest you do. It will be passed shortly. So, the governor says that prison closures will save $100 million. But critics want Pennsylvania to explore some other alternatives. Closing two state prisons has emerged as a way for the Pennsylvania to save money and take a step closer to a balanced budget. As lawmakers contend with competing funding priorities and a structural deficit. Now, mind you, the budget needs to be done by June 30th. But again, when's the last time that we had a balanced budget on time, right? One of the potential chopping blocks are two medium security facilities, State Correctional Institute in Rockview in Center County and Clearfields County's Kahana Boot Camp. Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro's administration has the power to close these facilities without the consent of the state legislature. Officials originally said they would announce a decision in May, but in June said considerations were still ongoing. Still, Shapiro included the closures in his budget proposal earlier this year, projecting the change would save the Commonwealth $100 million annually once fully implemented. Governors typically use their budget proposals to show fiscal wary lawmakers ways to save money while also pitching priorities they want to spend more on. He also wants to legalize marijuana, which a big chunk of his budget also depends on. Whether the proposed closures are mixed as Democrat and Republicans negotiate a budget deal ahead of the June 30th deadline is unclear. Spokesperson for Senate Majority Leader Joe Pittman did not answer the question directly, saying, in a statement, a key part of this discussion is ensuring correctional facilities operate as effectively as possible and taxpayer dollars are put to the best and most efficient use. Now, that's a politically correct statement, don't you think? While Republicans are often on board with cost-cutting as a principle, the two prisons are both in legislative districts with exclusively GOP representation. Some lawmakers have pushed back strongly against the administration's proposal as a result, warning the devastating job losses and argue there's not enough financial upside. Well, the reason for having prisons is to incarcerate bad people, not to create jobs. Creating jobs is a side effect of creating a facility to house bad people. Some justice advocates and Democrats also argue the state should prioritize different issues as in its closure recommendations. Prisons with documented history of environmental and other hazards affecting inmates, they say, should also be candidates for closure. Well, makes sense. Let's not just close prisons because we can. Let's close the prisons that are performing the worst, right? Makes sense. Shapiro based his savings estimate on recommendations from the State Department of Corrections Steering Committee, which issued a report earlier this year, on ways to save money and reduce staffing vacancies in Pennsylvania's prison system. The report came out of Shapiro's administration initiative to find inefficiencies known as the Resource Evaluation and Mission Alignment Project. Rockview, the second oldest facility in the state correctional system, houses nearly 2,000 people and employs 635 staff full-time, according to the most recent count. Quahana Boot Camp is a six-month alternative program for standard incarceration that focuses on reentry services. It houses nearly 321 people and employs 234. So let me get this straight. The boot camp only houses 321 people but has 234 staff members, while Rockview houses 2,000 people and employs only 635. Now, if you're going for a per capita employee to inmate ratio, maybe that changes things here. The steering committee proposed Rockview for closure because it faced $74 million in facility upgrades in the upcoming years and was adequate capacity to relocate inmates and staff to nearby facilities, according to the initial committee report. Now, it makes sense to look at closing one of our oldest, more costly to rehabilitate facilities. The debate over the prisons remained fervent. And these closures aren't guaranteed. A 2018 law signed by former Democrat Governor Tom Wolf requires state officials to provide written notice to the public at least 3 months in advance of an official closure announcement and give stakeholders, including lawmakers and employee labor representatives, the opportunity to analyze the proposal. The DOC held a public listening session about its proposal in April and said a decision would be made in May, and again, that has been postponed and is still ongoing. Spokesperson for the Department of Correction did not explain what is behind the delays or when the decision will be made. State lawmakers won't get a vote on whether or not to close the facilities, as we discussed, but State Representative Dallas Kephart, whose district includes Quahana Boot Camp, attempted a roundabout legislative path to save both it and SCI Rockview last month when his chamber considered a bill to broaden the medication options for opioid disorder in county jails. He tried to add an amendment to expand these programs to both of these facilities for at least 10 years. The amendment was blocked by Democrats. "I'm doing everything I can to fight back against these closures," he recently told Spotlight PA. And that's a local representative's job, to protect his district, even if it doesn't align. But for the whole of the state, is this the best resource to save money? I mean, I would think if you're legalizing marijuana, you might want to hold off a little bit on closing our jails, because if it's anything like other places they've done that at, it has done the opposite with the illegal market. It has actually increased illicit sales of marijuana, illicit growing of marijuana. Just look at New York State, where it is legal. They are constantly finding and closing and arresting illegal grow houses, illegal farms, illegal dealers, and everything else. So The biggest take I got out of this story is it reminded me that the deadline for that balanced budget is June 30th. Where are we at now? June 25th? So just a mere 5 days. What's the over-under that we are going to have a balanced budget by June 30th? What do you think? I honestly don't think we're close because the governor's budget had a whole bunch of stuff in it that depended on for revenue, including the closure of these two, saving $100 million from what he estimates. Do we have another government shutdown here in Pennsylvania? Does the governor allow a government shutdown here in Pennsylvania when he obviously has, you know, higher aspirations? Won't look good on his resume there now, will it? Coming up on 5:56 here on WILK News Radio. The rain is coming down on the station here, but it's going to be short-lived, but be careful out there. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we crank things down for this Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. Don't worry, those rain showers will be moving through the area. Nothing too steady tonight. It'll just be some fog in some places, so if you are going out tonight, if you are the man or woman behind the wheel doing that for a living, be careful. There will be some dense fog in area. We do have these, it's been kind of hot the past couple of days, and these storms are going to cool things down. Valleys will look nice with that fog and mist in there until it gets dark, and then it's just a hassle. But other than that, we will monitor what's happening in the news so we could bring you the greatest in talk and news radio here on WILK News Radio from 3 to 6 weekdays. Rob O'Donnell, Jake Paul Michaels giving you the news. We got everything for you. And just remember, we're on the downside of the week now. Now that's they're paying you back at this point. You've already put your dues in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The rest is a cakewalk downstream. And then you got the weekend. You have any plans this weekend? We'll discuss it when we get closer. Not me. I'm boss for the next week, though. My wife just hit her halfway mark. After driving 10 and a half hours today, left 6 o'clock this morning, just got to her overnight hotel stay. 800 and something miles, I think she put on. Not bad. Not bad. But she'll be sitting by a pool tomorrow night, having Mai Tais brought to her. So, and she'll have the grandson there, too. I wonder if he's the one bringing the Mai Tais. He is walking now, so technically he could. He'd probably spill it, though. But if there was a cover on it, maybe Mai Tai's in a sippy cup. No, then he would drink it. Can't have that either. I don't know. I'm going home to walk T-Rex. Hopefully there was no thunder up by us. The doodle's fine. He just wanders around like, oh, you're me. T-Rex just wants to eat everybody and everything, except me. We're buddies. Well, coming up on 6 o'clock here. God bless, be safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.